I should see the Nafsi, the Rav, the Lichner, Chashava, Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbeim, and Alim, teachers, and Chaverim, guys. I'm generally not at a loss for words, and I have much that I would want to share with you. I'll share with you a few words, but I have to tell you that I'm so unbelievably moved by this moment, by this gathering. I have to somehow bring this back to New York to show the chevra back there that it's possible. The boys that come from, these all yeshivas, rolling the same Torah, the boys that come from somewhat of different backgrounds, different yeshivas, and different places, but your Rebbe loves you so much. And Hashem Yisbarach loves you so much. He wants you to be together. And before I left the house this morning, I don't know why I took this with me. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but after this little rikud and just seeing all of you, I felt that I wanted to share it with you. And then I'll just talk for a few minutes. The Rav mentioned Purim. We're just coming off of the Yantif of Purim. And you know that in the Megillah itself, it's not really called a Megillah. It's not called Megillah's Esther in the Megillah. Does anybody know what it's called in the Megillah? What did Esther and Malka send, and what did they want to bring about that would be kept? It's called the Igeris HaPurim, the letter of Purim. The Igeris HaPurim. There's a very big difference between a letter and a book. A book is something that's published. Anybody that wants to buy it or take it out from a library can read it. But a letter is something that's written with love. It's written with your own hand. It's not a text message. It's not a WhatsApp. It's not an email. It's something that the person pours his heart onto that piece of paper and writes a letter. Back then in Shushan HaBira, we were feeling so disconnected from Hashem. We felt so detached. It was after the Churban. It didn't seem that the promise of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash was happening. The years were going by and they were waiting and they were losing their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Torah, to each other. And then Purim happened, the miracle of Purim. And Hashem, through that, was sending a letter to each individual, each separate individual Jew. Each one. What's your name? Tell me your name. Yonatan. So imagine Yonatan. You're going to come home today, Yonatan, and you're going to go to the, you're going to come home, and whoever's waiting for you, I hope your mother, as Hashem, she's healthy and well, we're waiting for you home and say, Yonatan, I have to tell you the strangest thing. An envelope arrived, addressed to you, Yonatan. It says, Yonatan Yakiri, my beloved. And the return address says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was sent to Yonatan. And you don't know what this is about. You think maybe it's a scam. There's a lot of scamming going on. So you think it's a scam, and you open it up, and there's a handwritten letter from HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Yonatan Ahuvi, my beloved, you should know that you're my only child. I love you more than anybody in the world. And I created you, so I want to have a relationship with you, and to be close to you until 120. That's what the letter of Purim is about. But I want to share with you a letter that was sent around. It's actually a poem. I don't know why, I just grabbed it off my desk this morning. I said, I felt like reading it again. I didn't think I was going to read it to you. My wife gave this to me. It was written by a woman in Eretz Yisrael by the name of Racheli Maskowitz. Could be that some of you have seen this or have heard about it. But this is what I was thinking about when we were dancing. She has a son, this Racheli has a son that's serving in the army and was fighting on the front. I hope that he's well. This is already from the beginning of the war. I hope that he's well. And all the chevers should be well. I don't know. But she writes here, my son returned from battle, his duffel bag bursting with things that I had not packed for him. Socks donated by a community in Argentina, a quilted blanket smelling like someone else's home, a blue towel from a family from the Moshav, tzitzis from Yerushalayim, a fleece jacket gifted by a high-tech company, a scarf knitted by an elderly lady, undershirts purchased by a paybox, I don't know what that is, by a paybox group, a sheet that was given to him by a friend, gloves bought by teenage girls, a jacket from the closet of someone who came and requested to give. I spread out all of these garments and weave together a new coat of many colors. See, Yosef, your brothers are there. Your brothers were there for you. Am Yisrael is a coat of many colors. Beautiful colors. And somehow, over the years, we forget who we are. We begin to look at each other, we begin to judge each other by how this one dresses, how this one looks, by this one's school, by this one's necktie, by this one's yarmulke. You see that what's happening now in the world is that Hashem is Baruch. In his own mysterious way, Hashem is Baruch wants these colors to come together. He wants Yosef's coat to be whole. Our enemies are trying to cover that coat with blood. They're trying to tear us to pieces. And Hashem Yisroch wants us to put that coat, the Ksonis Pasim of Yosef HaTzadik, that it should be whole and it should be together. So I'm going to go back to New York and I'm going to tell the Chevra there that I came to Toronto and I want you to know that it's not only that it's possible, I saw with my own eyes that Chevra from different yeshivas, we all got together. No politics, nothing. Rebellion, guys dancing together. The children of Yaakov Avinu. The Shvatim of Yaakov Avinu. Each one of you deserves to get a personal letter from the master of the world telling you that I love you, I'm proud of you. So let me share with you a thought. I don't know, it's early. I think buses are coming or something. I'm not sure what's the schedule. But I'll share with you something. It's just a little day letter here, just to share with you a little mashallah. You know, this year is a strange year in many ways, but even the calendar is strange. You probably noticed that it's been a pretty long winter. And that's because, of course, it's a Shana Muvaris, it's an Iber year, it's a leap year. We had an extra month of Adar. And I'm sure that you all know, each and every one of you knows why that happens every now and then. Because we count time by the moon, but Pesach has to fall out always in the spring. And therefore, over time, there could be a little bit of a difference between the solar and the lunar calendar. So in order that Pesach comes out in the Aviv, that it comes out in the spring. So we have to add a month every now and then. Without going into the mathematics, I'm sure you've studied this. But you know, the Gemara says a remarkable thing in Ksuvos regarding this Iber year, this leap year, when the sun and the moon somehow become realigned, those two calendars. The Gemara says, brings a pasuk in Yechezkel, Navi beside Ami, besod Ami lo yiyu. That this reunion of the sun and the moon, Chazal referred to it based upon this pasuk as a sod. What is the meaning of the word sod? A secret. It's called in halacha sod ha'ibur, the secret of the ibur of the leap year. The question is, what's the big secret? It's not a secret. You can learn the Rambam the Huskei Shachaydish. You can learn some sugyas in the Gemara. And if you have a calculator, it's pretty easy to come to the math. It's amazing that Chazal and the Rambam did that. But we have a way of understanding how the calendar works. So what's the sod? What's the secret of the leap year? And this coming Shabbos is a special lane. Besides the parasha, besides Shemini, we also have the final parasha of the four parashas. It's called Parashas HaChodesh. While we were still in Mitzrayim, there was Kiddush HaChodesh, HaChodesh is HaLachem. Mitzvah that we were, while we were still in Mitzrayim, we received this mitzvah before we left. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know exactly what the moon was supposed to look like. Again, I'm sure you've all learned this. Akidekach that Hashem Yisbarach Himself Shal Moshe Ben Kazer Ve'ei Ve'Kadesh. This is the new moon. The tiny little sliver in the sky, the tiny little piece of light. Kazer Ve'ei Ve'Kadesh. Sanctify the new moon. And we know from the Rambam and the Gemara that there was such a yontiv when it came to Bechlau, the Kiddush HaChodesh, was a gewaldige yontiv. According to the Vilna Gaon, there was a special bracha that was said b'shem Ad Hashem's name. And that was really by Kiddush HaChodesh. Lachas Kama B'Kam, when it would come to an Ibiyur, when it would come to a leap year, it was a time of unbelievable celebration. So what is this business of the sun and the moon coming back together? So have listen carefully. There's really an hour or two. I'm going to try to say it in 10, 15 minutes. I'll try. You know that at the beginning of time, the sun and the moon were the same size. They were called Shnei Ba'aris HaGadolim. They were both the same size. The moon was as great as the sun. And something happened. Without going into it now, something happened. Something went wrong. There's this great catastrophe that was woven into the fabric of creation itself before man ever existed. And as a result of that, the light of the moon was diminished. The light of the moon is now very small. The promise of the end of time, and we really speak about this when we say Kiddush Levana every month, is that the time will come when Mashiach is here that V'ya'or ha'levana ka'ar ha'chama ka'ar shivisimei gracious. That the light of the moon will be restored, will be brought back to all of its glory. But you know, in davening on Shabbos, we ask Hashem, Ve'einenu mi'iros kashemesh v'chayereach. May our eyes shine like the sun and the moon. Kashemesh v'chayereach. So it's a very simple question. The sun's light is unbelievably beautiful and powerful. Occasionally there's a cloud, but the sun's light is something which is constant. It's a fixture in the sky. The moon waxes and wanes. The light of the moon comes and goes. It struggles through different periods of time in the month, till finally by the middle of the month it gains back its light. And even then, the light is diminished. So why are we asking Hashem that our eyes should shine like the sun and the moon? Why not just say, Master of the world, we want to be great. We want that our eyes should shine like the sun. Why the sun and the moon? What is it that's special about the sun, the light of the moon? And this promise when Mashiach comes that these two luminaries, these two lights are going to be the same. What does that mean? So let's talk a little bit for a minute about a story that you know. When Yaakov Avinu came, when it came time for Yaakov Avinu to get married, he came to the house of Lavan. So Yaakov Avinu met there his two future wives, Rachel and Leah. And now Rachel and Leah were very, very different. What I'm telling you now is a teaching from one of the great tzaddikim, Reb Tzadik HaKohen from Lublin, Swiss, Italy. Rachel and Leah were very, very different. Chazal tell us, there's Gemara Bava Basra, and the Medrash, Tanchum, and the Medrash Rabbah. But Chazal tell us that the way of Rachel Tavsa Plach Shal Shtika, the way of Rachel was the way of silence. And therefore she had a son, Yosef HaTzadik, who was hidden and disguised for all of those years. Nobody knew who he really was. He kept the secret. And Binyamin, who knew about the secret also, was silent. Esther HaMalka is also a descendant from Rachel Imenu. Esther HaMalka, Lo Magedes, she didn't say who she was. So Chazal tells us that the world of Rachel is a world of silence. The world of Leah Imenu is a world of Haidah, of thanks and of song. She would have Yehuda. He just sang the words, Ha-pa-ha-moide, es Hashem, Yehuda, to give thanks, to sing. David HaMelech, Neim Zemiris Yisrael, to sing to Hashem's Baruch. Now, when Yaakov Avinu came to the house of Lavan, who did he really want to marry? You remember, who did he meet right away? And who did he want to marry right away? No? Rachel, he made him. The Torah describes Rachel as Yifas Torah V'Yifas. Yifas Torah V'Yifas Mara. That she was beautiful. Beautiful means inside and out. He saw her greatness. Besides her external beauty, he saw who she was. He didn't really want to marry Leah. He married Leah by default. What was the default? So the Gemara says that these two, Yaakov and Esav, the match was made in heaven, that Yaakov and Esav were supposed to marry Rachel and Leah. The older for the older and the younger for the younger. That was the shidduch that was made in Shemayim. Because Esav could have turned out to be the biggest Baal Teshuva who ever lived. And he could have brought the whole world back to Hashem. The Arizal says, when it says in the Torah that he was a hunter, Kitzayi Befiv, it meant that he had the ability to hunt Jews to bring them back to Hashem. Esav was a powerful soul. Leah was supposed to marry Esav, and they were supposed to be this unbelievable team to bring the whole world back to Hashem, to hunt, and to bring souls back to Hashem. And Leah Imenu didn't want to marry Esav, because Esav used his energy to destroy his life and to destroy the lives of others. And he became Esav Harasha. And Chazal tells us that Leah Imenu was crying and crying. The truth is that Leah Imenu was once as beautiful as Rachel, just like the moon was once as beautiful as the sun. But Leah Imenu was crying and crying and crying, to the point that her face was changed and affected by all the years of crying, begging Hashem, I don't want to end up with Esav. I don't want to be like Esav. I don't want to be in that world of Esav. I don't get stuck in the filth of Esav. And because of her crying, her non-stop crying, Hashem brought Leah into the world of Yaakov Avinu. And these two remarkable women built the Jewish people. Kerachel Chileah. And Reb Tzadik says, Rachel is the world of the Tzadik. Yaakov wanted to marry a perfect wife. All your parents wanted to have perfect children. My parents didn't have a perfect child, that's me. But everybody would like to have perfect children, shining like the sun. Rachel Imenu was perfect. Yifas Tor, Yifas Mara. Yosef HaTzadik never sinned. Yosef HaTzadik is called Yosef HaTzadik. Yehuda, on the other hand, the son of Leah, Yehuda, as you know, on his level, we don't understand. But on his level, something happened with Yehuda. And Yehuda's name means the word, also the Lashon of Vidui, of admitting, he said, Hapam, Oides Hashem. Leah Imenu said, Hapam, Oides Hashem, because Yehuda said, Tzadkim Imenu, she's right and I'm wrong. And he was born with this name, Yehuda, which means to sing, to give thanks, but also to admit one's mistakes and one's faults. So Tzadik says these are the two ways of the Tzadik and the Baal Teshuva. The Tzadik is called the one of silence, like Rachel. I mean, it doesn't mean that Rachel didn't talk. When you look at the Torah, Rachel said more than Leah. So what's the silence of Rachel? So the Kohen says, Reb Tzadik says that the silence of Rachel is that she had an inner tranquility. There was peace within her, inside of herself. You know, sometimes there could be something on the street that you shouldn't look at. And there's a noise inside of you that screams at you, look, look, look. And then there's another sound inside of you that says, no, it's not good, don't look. You just put your tilling away, half hour ago, don't look. And there's the other sound that says, look, look, it's okay. The other says, don't look, and look, and don't look. That's noise. That's the terrible noise of that fight that's going on inside of us, that war. The Hamas inside, the Am Yisrael are fighting with each other. And that creates tremendous turbulence. But Rachel Imenu was beautiful inside and out. And Yaakov didn't want ever to raise children, that all the children are going to be perfect tzaddikim. They're always going to get Aleph plus, A plus. Everything's going to be nice. The shirt's going to be tucked in. They're going to take care. They get a haircut at the right time. They're going to do everything they're supposed to do. No late night partying. No disappearing from life. No Yeridas. Everything's going to be perfect. Straight.
Gleich, like the sun, shining, perfect. And Yachmin wanted a perfect world. And we all want a perfect world. And we all want to shine like the sun. But Hashem Yisbach had different plans. Esav went off, and he went away. He went away. And from there came the world of Amalek. Its present mutation is Hamas. But Lehi Menu is the world of the Baal Tshuva, of the Baal Tshuva. And that's why Chazal tell us that her way was the way of music, of song. That's why she would have a grandson, a great-grandson, David HaMelech. Because the song is beautiful, because it has high notes and has low notes. That's what makes the song so beautiful. It has high notes and has low notes. And the light of the moon, it's bright and then it fades. Sometimes it's strong, sometimes it's weak. You and I, sometimes our davening is good, sometimes it's not so good. Our learning sometimes is great, sometimes it's weak. Our kedusha, our way of guarding our eyes and living the right way, sometimes it's very, very strong. We feel like after a day like today, we feel stronger and we come out and we're stronger. Then we fall. As you're singing, the B'ditchev is Nigin Sheva Yipol. You were singing the words that was made up, the B'ditchev didn't put that, but Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. We fall. And the moon falls. So why do we say that Einenu Me'iros Kashemesh V'Chayerech Hashem, our eyes should shine like the sun and the moon? Because Hashem Yisbach loves both the Tzadik and the Baal Tshuva. Hashem loves the Rochel Imenu types, the way of silence where inside there's no noise, everything is the best yeshiva, the best learner, the best davener, everything is the best shidduch, everything is beautiful. There are a couple of Jews like that in the world, like Rachel Imenu, Yosef HaTzadik, Ben Yovan HaTzadik. There are people like that. But look, Chevra, look at me. Most of us are not like Rachel Imenu. Most of us wax and wane like the moon. We have good days and bad days. We shine sometimes very brightly, sometimes the light fades. And you and I know that it makes no difference whether you dress a certain way or a different way. It's a struggle of our generation to shine despite all the forces that are against us. And here's what I want to give you a bracha, enclosing it in Torah, to have another 10 minutes. You know, a terrible thing happened by Maimon HaSinai. Everything was going great until we had an egel azav, until we built a golden calf. And then the whole thing went wrong with the miraglim and the spies. And only later on in Devarim, it says in the pasuk, "Va'teiragnu bo'aleichem." Hashem is telling the Jewish people, You were hacking, I guess, teiragnu would be, I don't know what the fancy word is for it. You know what it means to hack? Yeah. They were hacking in their tents. But teiragnu bo'aleichem. They were b'sinas Hashem o'yisonu hotzianim Mitzrayim. Because Hashem hates us, He took us out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew what was going on inside of their tents after the whole thing happened with the miraglim, and they didn't come to Eretz Yisrael right away the way they were supposed to. It says, v'teiragnu bo'aleichem atayimru. You know why Hashem didn't take us to Eretz Yisrael? Because He hates us. So the question is, how could it be that they thought that Hashem hated them? Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim with the 10 Makkos. Hashem split for them an ocean. Hashem brought down from Shemayim and Torah. He said, "Okay, Hashem, look up." So how could it be the Jews? How could it be the Jews are saying that God hates us? B'sinas Hashem oisam. How could that possibly be? Did any one of you hear? Don't raise your hand, please. Did anyone of you ever hear that God? Did anyone of you ever feel that Hashem hates you? So Sforno says, "B'sinas Hashem oisanu." Al she'avadnu avodah zarah b'Mitzrayim. Do I have to translate? All of you know what it means. The reason that God hates us. Yeah, He took us out of Egypt, you know, because there are a couple of tzaddikim, you know. He took us out of Egypt. But
The truth of the matter is, God hates us. You know why he hates us? Sha'avadnu avodah zarah b'mitzrayim, because we served idols when we were in Mitzrayim. Let's translate that into modern terms. Forget about idols. We don't care about idols now. Sometimes you could be trying to daven, and you're a little bit inspired, and you have your siddur open, and you're saying something, and you start to think, this is crazy. I know that Hashem's not listening to me. I know that he's not sending me any letter like he's sending to Yonatan. Yonatan's a tzaddik, I'm not a tzaddik. I know that he's not sending me any kind of a letter. I know that because of what I did, what I looked at, what I thought about, whatever it is, I know that because of that, b'sinas Hashem oisi, that Hashem does not want to hear my davening. So you're sitting in the middle, you're learning, you're steiging, you're learning whatever it is, you're learning a black gemara, and you're learning a Tosfos and Kedushin. And you're all excited, and it's going well. And you're beginning to feel connected finally to the Gemara. And you're appreciating a Tosfos. And then all of a sudden, at the best times of our lives, there's that voice that comes into your head of Hamas, the noise of Amalek. And it comes into your head and it says, you think God loves you? You think he's sending you a letter? You did the following, and it's not a deserve of Mitzrayim, other stuff. You're not the sun. You're not even the moon. So look what happens by Kiddush HaChodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu did not know what to do. And Hashem showed him a tiny little sliver of the moon. And Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, because that's the beginning of the month, and Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kezer Re'eh V'Kadesh, which means, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, you think that the moon has to be shining in all of its splendor and be as great as the sun? Look at this little sliver of light. I want you to know that when I see, Hashem said to Moshe, when I see in a Jew a piece of light, when I see that a Jew is trying to break away from Esav, when I see that a Jew wants in his own way to bring a little bit more light into his life, it doesn't have to be the sun, a little bit more learning, a little bit more davening, a little bit of light. Kazer Eva Kadesh, and there's a big yontim Makudish. Rabbi Nachman Schuslin has said, Abyssal is always good. A little bit is also good. That doesn't mean we shouldn't aspire to greatness. But the path to greatness is appreciating the little pieces of the moon, the little sliver of the moon, the little fights of Lehi Meinu to be good, because Lehi Meinu could have ended up in the world of Esav if she fought against it. That's our job in our generation. There are very few Rachels here. I don't mean here in this room, here in our generation. Our job makes no difference. Your Rebbeim have also struggled. I've also struggled. All of us. To be better. To give Hashem his Ruach Nachas. And to believe that he doesn't hate us. It's not true. When Adam sinned in Gan Eden, he ate from the tree. So he started to hide from Hashem. And it says in Pasuk, "Umipanecha asaser." And the Ramban said, "I'm hiding from Hashem's face. I'm hiding from you." And the Ramban says he couldn't daven because he was running away from Hashem. You know how you go to shul sometimes, and there are people that even if they come to shul, they daven like in the women's section, not when they're women, but you know, they daven in the women's section. Or you have guys when it comes to a dance, there are guys that they don't want to join the dance; they're trying to hide. "Umipanecha asaser." Because you hate me, because I ate from the tree. And I'm naked. And Hashem said, who told you that you're naked? I didn't tell you you're naked. I never told you that I hate you. I love you. Just try to do better. Try to get up tomorrow and go to shul. Do your best. I never told you that you're naked. I told you that you're naked. I told you that you're worthless. I never told you that you're worthless. I love you. Any tiny little bit of light in your life is very, very dear to me. The light of the moon. So, and I'll tell you a story. Be merciful me for keeping you so long. A little bit more than 200 years ago, 215, 220 years ago, there was a great tzaddik that lived in Russia. It's called the Tolna Magid, Rav David from Tolna. Some of you might know this story, it's a well-known story. It's told with some variations. The one that I'm telling you is what I read many, many years ago from a Bar Samcha when it comes to these stories, someone who could be trusted.
The Dabar from Talna, the biggest time of the year by the Talna Magid was Hanukkah. And he had a magnificent silver menorah, a big silver menorah that he got from the father, the grandfather, Chernobyl, the Morinai. And Jews would smuggle themselves through the borders of Russia and Poland, thousands of people to squish into this besmedrash and to light candles, to be there with the Talna Magid of Dov from Talna, because the singing, the dancing was unbelievable. And it was the first night of Hanukkah, and all these poor, tired, and hungry Jews were squished into the Beis Medrash. And Reb David was standing with the Shamas, and everybody was waiting, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, everybody's waiting, and he still didn't make the bracha, l'hadig ne'chanukah, everybody's waiting. Until finally, they don't know what's going on, until finally the Talna Magid, the Rebbe, turns around, and he says in Yiddish, V'yeh Shai d'hoicha, translated means, where is Shai, the tall one? So in that village, there were two Shai's, a little one and a tall one. So he was known as Shai the High, Shai the Tall One. Now, you might have seen sometimes how the Chassidim, when they get together, they have like these grandstands, not just Chassidim, but Jews. When we get together, we have these grandstands. So Shai was all the way someplace in the back. He was a very tall, very, very sweet and wonderful Jew. He couldn't even read the Siddur, because his parents were killed in a pogrom when he was a kid, and he had to go to work. He was a butcher, and he was very, very poor. And the Rebbe said, Shaya the Hoicha, where are you? I need to talk to you. I have to ask you a question. And his friends were there next to him, and Shaya was ducking, because Shaya was like a foot taller than the rest of the people. And the friend said, Shaya, the Rebbe wants you. And Shaya said, I'm not going down there. I don't know what's going on. And the Rebbe said, Shaya, I beg you, I have to ask you something. You're the only person here that can answer the question. So by now the friends like pushed him, and he just like stumbled down. He went to the middle, and the thousands of people around, and the Rebbe is standing in the middle with the candle, with the shamas, and Shai is there, and the Rebbe says, Shai, I know you're here, Shai, I have to ask you something. And Shai says, Rebbe, I can't even read. I don't know how to read. I don't know anything. I never went to school. The Rebbe says, no, you're the only one that knows this. And Shai says, what is it? So Chev, listen, this is a very, very strange question to ask back then. It was crazy. To ask even now would be not appropriate. But just hold on to your seats for a second. The Rebbe asked him, Shai, tell me something. Do you love your wife? So all the Chassidim just went, what is that? And Shai just turned colors like the coat of Yosef at Tzaddik, you know? And he didn't know what to say, that this is some Kabbalistic thing. He didn't know what this is about. Do I love my wife? I remember many years ago, I was teaching yeshiva. I had 12th grade boys, and I made a promise that if we finish up, we were learning the Timakis, and we finished Masechta, I would take them to the Yankee game. I don't know if you know, if you ever heard of the Yankees. I would take them to the Yankee game. This is around 40 years ago. I don't know if I would go now, but I took them then to the Yankee game, and on the scoreboard in front of like 50,000 fans, there was some guy that proposed to his girlfriend, "Will you marry me?" On the scoreboard, and 50,000 people started screaming out, "Say no, say no." Like, it's not proper, you know what I mean? For a Rebbe to ask in front of 10,000 people, "Do you love your wife?" It's not nice. So Shai didn't say anything. So finally, the Rebbe said, "Shai, I'm begging you, tell me, do you love your wife?" So Shai, at this point, just figured, what am I going to do? He says, "Yes, Rebbe, I do love my wife." So Rebbe said to the Chassidim, "You hear? Shai loves his wife." And they just stood there, they didn't know what to say. They thought the Rebbe, God forbid, lost his mind. Shai loves his wife. So the Rebbe said, "Good, Shai, that's so good. So Shai, it must be that since you love your wife, sometimes you have a sod, like I spoke about the sod, the secret of the leap year, of the sun and the moon. So sometimes you want to tell her a secret, how much you love her." So Shai says, "Yeah, sometimes." So then Shaya, when you want to tell your wife a secret, what do? So everybody was laughing, because Shaya was tall, 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 skinny, and he had a chubby little wife like this. So Shaya just said, "Rebbe, when I want to tell my wife a secret, I bend down and I tell her." Now the Rebbe was also little, so the Rebbe said, "Shaya, show everybody how you do that." By this time Shaya was already. So Shaya just bent down to the Rebbe. like that.
And the Rebbe said to the Chassid, did you see that? And the Chassid said, yeah. And the Rebbe said, but Shaya, you left out something. You left out the most important thing. Shaya, you forgot. What? And Shaya was thinking, oh, no, my wife is so little that she has to get on her tippy toes. And then the Rebbe gave him a hug, and he said, that's it, dos is dos. And the Rebbe made the brachas, lit the candle, and the Chassidim were dancing flowers. And afterwards, some of the older Chassidim came to talk to the Rebbe, like, what was that, you know? What happened tonight? That was weird. So listen, Chava, the Rebbe said the following. The Rebbe said, I was about to light the candle, and all of a sudden I had this thought, why would Hashem, the creator of heaven and earth, care about me, David from Talna, my little candle? What difference does it make, my candle? Who am I that he should care about my candle? That I should get a letter, right? Who am I that he should care about my candle? And then I had a thought, like, why would Hashem care about whether I daven, whether I put on tilm? Why would Hashem care about me? Who am I? I'm nothing. And I was looking around. I wanted to run away from the shul. You think I'm a big rabbi or tzaddik. I just wanted to run away from the shul. I didn't know what to do. And then I saw Shaya the Hoicher. And Shaya is so tall. Hashem is so tall. And Shaya's wife is so small. She's so little. And we're so little. But when you love someone, you bend all the way down. And Hashem told us, Ahavti Eschem, I love you, each and every one of you. So Hashem's book bends down from the highest world, from all worlds, because He loves us. But there's one thing that Hashem asks of every Jew, and this is the bracha that I'm leaving each and every one of you with. Hashem asks each and every one of us, try to stand on your tippy toes. That means, you know what, today, try to be a little bit more than yesterday. Try to stand on your tippy toes. Don't let the world ground you. Don't let the world bring you down to a low place. Stand on your tippy toes, guys. Each and every one of you. I have no words to thank you for listening and for coming together and to your rebbeim, some of whom I know, most I don't know, how the respect and admiration I have for what you're doing here. And Hashem Yisbach should help each and every one of you in your own way to find your own path. Each one of you to find your own way and your own path. And the time is going to be soon, because we're at the 2-yard line, you know? It's the end of the game. And the time is going to be soon when we're going to be able to repeat that dance, Taranto meets Woodmere, but it'll be, next time it will be, in Yerushalayim, with the blessed Amitis, Amen. Amen.